passages of Scripture this morning. The first, perhaps, is a bit odd in imagery. Remember that it was written in a different time and in a different context. But the theme is the same. And the theme is unity. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. And it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And then the second passage of Scripture, short, but again profound and powerful, from the 13th chapter of John, from the 31st verse. And when he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told you the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We have heard your word, O Lord. Now let it move from our ears and our minds to our heart and to our being. For your word is meant to be lived. So let your spirit fall upon us so that the words on the page of Scripture might find their way into the hands and the feet and the actions of us who seek to follow you. Be with us in the hearing of your word, the word interpreted. We pray this, O God. Amen. Well, again, let me say it is a pleasure to be with you today and my honor to share and be in leadership with the choir and with those musicians this morning. Thank you for your welcome and your hospitality. It has also been my wife's and my pleasure to have spent our first southern winter with you this last season. Being northerners, and please don't hold that against us too much, we have always had to deal with cold and ice and snow. But now, having become permanent residents of Florida as of last October, I have to be honest, we did not cry ourselves to sleep at night because we weren't shoveling snow or driving on ice. It has been a glorious last 6 months. However, as we all know, when you make a major move from one part of the country to another part, one of the greatest aggravations is having to get, you know, new driver's license, new titles, new house titles, new tags on your vehicle, to go through that whole process. And the most important aspect of that, I think, is coming up with positive identification to verify you are who you say you are. Have you ever had that problem? And so in order to make this all happen, you know, we had to dig out our records. We had to pull out driver's license. We had to pull out passports. We had to pull out birth certificates. We had to pull out our marriage license. We had to pull out other official photo ID. We even had to pull out a TECO bill saying that, in fact, we were living here and we were grounded here. Thankfully, we didn't have to offer up our fingerprints or any DNA swabs. But as you know, these are the things that are the requirements by the legal system and that serve as positive identification. The world says, this is what tells us who you are. Well, you know, that may be true on the legal side of the aisle. But it certainly is not the whole picture of who we are. And today we run into a passage that gives us a bird's eye view of another criteria that establishes our identity. At first look, or at first listen, you may think that my gospel selection out of the 13th chapter of John is a bit out of place. I mean, here we are, nearing the end of the Eastertide season, and I choose a selection of passage or selection of scripture which most likely you heard during Holy Week. I mean, it's the premier passage of Maundy Thursday. Maundy, which means commandment, and Jesus in the upper room gave that commandment, love one another. He shared that with his disciples at that time. And so, yes, in a sense, this passage is a bit out of place. And yet, I believe we find the lectionary giving us this passage on this Sunday because, once again, with our Ascension and Pentecost celebrations just a few weeks away, it may be good for us to hear one more time that which will firmly instill and ingrain our identity of who we are in the world. The passage from John is quite short, but again, tremendously profound. Hear a section of that again. A new commandment I give you, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I would suggest that passage has directives for at least two realms of our life, and certainly we live in a lot of different spheres of life, but there are at least two. First of all, it's a directive for us as the church as a whole, but also for the church individually. In a sense, this is an in-house memo that's getting passed around. It was spoken to the disciples, for the disciples, with the disciples. And very simply, the word was, you're to love one another. And didn't that make a lot of sense for those early disciples? They were to be the first graduating class of Christians going out into the world, and they needed to make a good start as the church, because if that early church were not to love one another, the likelihood of it faltering and collapsing may have been possible. So love was going to be absolutely vital for their life together. Is not the same true for us as well? Our love for one another must be the order of the day. And I like to think of that love in the life of the church being two things. Hang on to this. Glue and oil. Glue and oil. First of all, our love must serve as the glue that holds us together. In preparing to make our move to Florida, my wife gave me a suggestion. Well, really, it was more like an ultimatum. She said, you've got to get rid of some books. Pastors are notorious for their libraries. And in fact, I came to Florida with only about 10 to 15 boxes of books. And that's after ditching about 20 to 25 boxes of books. Thought I did pretty good. And, you know, as I was going through that process of looking through my books, trying to discern what I was going to part with, I began to look at the different categories of books that I had. I mean, over here was all my Christian education. Here was my youth ministry. Here was a pile of singles ministry. Here was counseling. Here was theology. But I was amazed and taken back by all the books I had collected through the years on church conflict management. Books and books on how to deal with church fights and disagreements and confrontation. My library had become infested with how to help us love one another. Yes, we humans struggle to get along sometimes. And dare I say, especially in the church, because that which we bring to the church is so close to our heart. It means so much to us. And that's why Jesus commanded, you know, love one another. Because he knew that sometimes we don't always agree. There's an understatement. And sometimes we don't always listen. And if that's the case, which it is, Jesus knew it was going to take a spirit-filled love to hang on to each other in those times when we locked horns. Jesus knew that all of his disciples would need to exercise respect and forgiveness and understanding and openness to further their work in the world. And so too, we also need that kind of tough but compassionate and forgiving love to bind us together. And frankly, if we do that, no other books are needed in the library for that. So if love serves as our glue to help us hold on to one another, I would also say it serves as the oil that enables us to get things done. Most likely we've heard the phrase, and it may come in many ways, oil makes the world go round. Well, that's true in the life of the church, and it's true for lots of different things. And one time I learned it the hard way. When I was in high school in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, we had a snowblower. Boy, I'm glad I don't have that thing anymore. But we had a snowblower. And upon the first winter snowfall, I got the snowblower out, and I started to throw in snow every which way. And I got about 20, 25 feet, and that thing stopped with a clunk. And I couldn't get it started again. I was just beside myself. And so I called the store where I'd purchased it, and we did some problem solving over the telephone, and nothing seemed to work. So I called my brother-in-law, who was pretty mechanical, and we talked about some possibilities as well. And then he said, did you winterize it last year? I said, well, sure, of course. He said, did you drain the oil? I said, well, of course I drained the oil. You always have to do that. And then he asked the critical question. You know, did you fill it back up with oil? Oops. No oil, cracked block, big repair bill. I don't think I've ever seen my mother so angry at me. And guess what? After paying that repair bill myself, I never forgot to put oil in there again. Oil makes things work. And our love for one another is the oil for our life together. Especially when this love serves as a devotion, a commitment to be the body of Christ in the world. especially when it serves as compassion for the needs of others, or courage to risk and try new things, or the conviction to live as Jesus lived. With that kind of love, we can allow the Spirit to work in and with and through us. And then we begin to fulfill the calling of the church in the world. And so our love for one another, which serves as glue and which serves as oil, is as vital today as it was when Jesus spoke those first words in the upper room. That love is also vital to be lived out in the world as well. You know, we must demonstrate that love not only within the four walls of this place, but we're also called to take it out into the dark and the messy and the complex places that are around us. And it's interesting, we say the word love, but that too is so complex. Love is not a one-size-fits-all cap. Comes in many different forms, varied forms, takes many avenues. But at its very heart, it is love when we choose to live it by strengthening the one who has hit the end of their road. There is love in the world. When we support the one who has had their world cave in on them, when we step in, there is love. When we seek to be a presence for the one who feels like they're going it alone, there's where love can be lived. When we provide guidance for the one who is lost and doesn't know where to go next, or when we provide healing for the one who is physically or mentally or spiritually broken, that's where love can be lived out. So whether the mandate of love takes you into your family or into your circle of friends or your neighborhood or your community or somewhere in the world where you perhaps will never step, but where you can still have an influence. That too is part of what Jesus meant when he said, love one another. That's where we go and we seek to live it out. The world may say to us, this certificate, this piece of paper, this document, this is what tells us who you are. But Jesus comes along and he says the greatest affirmation and validation of positive identification is our practice of love as a community of faith, and then as a church that takes us into the world. Bottom line, by our love, they will know us as Christians. May it be so in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, you gather us as a community of love, and now we pray your hand to be upon us, so that we might take that love wherever we are, that we might live it in perhaps the simplest of actions, like a simple smile or a handshake or a warm greeting, or perhaps as complex as wading into someone's pain and simply being there with them through whatever they are going through. However we live out that love, O God, be with us. Strengthen us with your Spirit and give us good courage and fortitude to be living out in Christ's body in the world. It is our calling. May we be faithful. Amen.